Welcome to Healing Your Family Legacy, here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Innovative, evidence-based recovery that helps to identify intergenerational trauma, allowing for freedom and embracement of the healing process. Today, episode 17, The Pandemic and Its Effect on Small Children. And now your host, Dr. Donna Bevanley.
This is Dr. Donna Bevanley, helping you heal your family legacy. Today, I want to end my discussion about childhood trauma. And before I do that, I want to talk about a trauma that I think has occurred to babies and small children, and maybe even older kids, because we've certainly been hearing about their trauma during this pandemic. One of the things I want to go back and review was what it's like to be a baby or a small child in life, period. When you're born and when you're a small child, you don't really know very many things. You don't know yourself. You don't know how you experience the earth. Is just this scary kind of, what is this experience? And if you ever have a baby or a small child around, you hear them say things like, for instance, when my son was a little boy, like say maybe 1.5 or 2, right when he was starting to really talk to me back, we were out on a stroll in his stroller, and we were down by the waterfront in Seattle. And we're going along, and it's a sunny day, and sunny days in Seattle are just extraordinary. The sun comes out, and then the glare from the water, and it's just amazing. But if you're a little guy in a stroller going along, and you have one of these amazing sunny days, and you're down on the waterfront, you might experience glare in your eyes, and that may not be a pleasant experience, and it wasn't for him. So he said, "Mommy, Mommy," and I stopped and got down and said, "What is it? What do you need?" And he said, "Would you please turn that sun down a little bit?" And of course, my whole insides just warmed up because, you know, I love him and I absolutely was in love with him then. And I just, you know, when I got finished being tickled inside, I said, "How about I put your little sunglasses on and that'll help it out? But I really can't turn that sun down, honey. It's just what it is." And he looked at me just kind of in this confused manner. And then he said, "Okay." And that was it. But asking your mother to turn the sun down a little bit so it doesn't shine so bright in your eyes is a really good example of how it is when you're a baby. You don't know that that is the biggest star that we know about in our universe, and that it is what it is. It's a big flaming gaseous substance. And so when you're a baby or a small child, everything you learn about the earth, about your environment, about you is reflected back from the adults and other children and aunts and uncles, everybody that you come in contact with. Their expression on their face is reflected back to you, and you internalize that expression and the energy that goes along with that as being about you. So now I want to talk about the impact of this pandemic on babies and children. So if you're a brand new baby and you were born during the pandemic, what you saw were eyes, a lot of eyes. You probably saw those eyes in the delivery room. You saw those eyes when you first met your parents, and you might have seen their whole face, But you've spent, as a baby, you've spent a lot of time looking at masked faces to keep you safe. Your baby, you don't know that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and we still aren't sure how COVID affects babies. We know that it can have a terrible impact on children and has killed children, and so we still want to keep children safe. But in the meantime, children are still growing up. They're identifying who they are. They're feeling out, you know, who am I to you? And so I think it's interesting. I don't know personally, I don't know professionally how exactly this will have impacted childhood and the development of children's sense of self. I do believe that there is an impact. I absolutely know it because I have seen babies where everybody's masked up. And they're not, because they're babies. They've got to be able to breathe. You can't really put a mask on a baby. They're slobbering. They're eating. They need to be maskless. And so when parents are and other adults are responsible when they're around those babies, they're masked up because they don't want babies to get sick. And so I've seen babies when there are no masks now because people are getting vaccinated. And so the babies and the people in their lives are now maskless. And it's fun to entertain them, to laugh with them, to, you know, read stories to them, to show them what it is in the world, to interact with them without a mask on. And when they're being entertained, they're laughing, they're enjoying this, they're taking that on. I could tell you right now, they're taking that energy in as this is me. Everybody loves me, and they do. But when the masks are on, they don't see that. They just see the eyes. And so when the masks come off and there's not entertainment happening, I wonder what that experience is like for them. When babies didn't have to deal with this, it seemed to me that when the babies were, you know, even if people weren't entertaining them, they were happy if they were not being traumatized, but they were happy, they laughed, they would sometimes be the first ones to smile when they met somebody. And because people would always see a baby and smile and laugh and say hello and, you know, how are you? And you couldn't help but see a baby. You still can't help but see a baby and smile and feel love, right? But the way that the baby or the small child experiences that is by looking at those faces. And when they're maskless, they see that face, they see that smile, they see that warmth that comes out when you see a baby. And they, of course, this is all about me. And it is all about them. So I think it's just interesting. And I think that there will be many theses that are studied as a result of this pandemic and the impact it's had on children and babies and their development. I don't think, thank goodness, that it needs to be long-term. But what I would say professionally is that if you have babies that you are concerned about that they might be on the spectrum emotionally, so we would talk about Asperger's, which is, you know, when children or adult have trouble reading social cues, that it might be because they were small children or babies during this pandemic when they didn't see that emotional energy. They didn't see what a face looks like when it's angry or happy or fearful or in pain. They might have been able to see a little bit with the eyes, but if the masks were on, they didn't learn it. Here's the happy news. The happy news is that young children and babies, and actually all children up to the age of, say, 25, their brains are still growing. And so if there's been some kind of developmental issue that's happened as a result of the pandemic, that if people start dealing with that now and saying, okay, you know, we've just got to spend a lot of time with these children, and they have to spend time together so that they can read social cues. They have to be able to, you know, spend time with the adults in their life that love them without masks on so that they can start to develop this. It just might be a little bit delayed. And why would I be concerned about this? Is because I had some fear in the beginning of all this, and I saw those masks and I saw the impact on babies and small children, is that I think it's important not to diagnose them. Not to have a whole diagnosis of a whole generation. No, I think it's time, you know, for people to take those masks off if they've been vaccinated. And anybody that has, you know, been vaccinated and are immune, that they can start to interact with those children and those babies and to spend a lot of time doing it. Because their brains can still develop in that way. It might be a little bit delayed. You know, I remember, I won't say her name, but my niece, my sweet, sweet niece, when she was born, she had some hip problems. And so she was in a cast from her waist down. And she didn't start walking when developmentally she should. It took her a little longer because she had casts on her legs to straighten it all out. And it got all straightened out. And then she picked it up and started walking pretty quickly. And so I know that it might be a little bit delayed for a lot of these kids and a lot of these babies, but it's important not to diagnose it or make it be some kind of a developmental issue. Just know that there's going to be some delays with some of these kids. And it's okay. Just say, okay, this is part of the impact of this terrible experience that the world has been through and is still going through. So always, as we move forward in our lives and find, we experience life as we understand more and we experience more things and we understand, you know, sometimes we still don't understand, like we do not understand what the long-term impact of this COVID has, you know, will be on all of us. We don't know how that's going to affect us in the world and individually. We just don't know. But what we do know is that it will be part of childhood trauma. It can't help but be. You know, we know that kids who are, you know, are really struggling with depression and anxiety because they aren't with their friends. Little kids, you know, if they aren't seeing those happy smiling faces every time they turn around, they're going to struggle with what's wrong with me. What did I do wrong? I've seen little kids. I hike a lot, and I've seen actually families on easy trails with their little kids, like, you know, 3-year-old kids on trails. And I think it's wonderful. Then those little kids have masks on. And that's good because they're trying to protect others and they are also being protected. And I always have, you know, stopped with my mask on, of course, and chatted with those little children and told them, what a responsible, what a big girl you are, what a big boy you are for having that mask on and being aware of the situation that we're all in. And you're so sweet and you're so cute. And then I, you know, if we're outside, of course, I would take my mask off a little bit and let them see me smile. Because, you know, to talk to them in that way, that you can tell that they really enjoy that interaction with other people, because they've probably been having it with everyone in their family, but to have it with other people, that are strangers, that you can just see them light up, and they, you know, they like it, and sometimes they run over and grab their mother's leg, you know, and all that that little kids do. But I think it's really important for all of us to be aware of the fact that these kids have had some serious trauma because of this pandemic, because they have been developing those connections in their little brains, have been going like crazy. And remember, I've said before, little kids and babies learn something new every 15 seconds. And so there might be some delay, but we can help make up for that by making sure, and this is the challenge I would tell everybody, is that when you see a kid, and I really don't care how old they are, they've all been traumatized by this, be sure to let them see that face. If you are vaccinated, just let them see that smiling face and say something to them. And, you know, how are you today? And so glad to see you today, and smile. Because they will mirror that back. They will think it's about them. And that's just fine. That's a good thing. So I wanted to say a few things about the impact of this pandemic. And I don't know what the full impact will be. We'll see when these kids are back in school and they're not masked up anymore and we're not masked up anymore. And I hope that happens sooner than later. But when we're all kind of being like we were, for us adults, it's going to be an adjustment. You know, I saw it today on the news that 50% of the people who are vaccinated are still anxious about removing their mask. That is a trauma, that part of the trauma that we've all experienced in our culture, in our country, and you know, in other countries where they've experienced it in a different way, their traumas will be similar to ours, but not exactly. And so when you think about, okay, if a 13-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 17-year-old or a, you know, a 21-year-old or a baby have been alive during this pandemic, they have been traumatized. And it's important for all of us adults to recognize that, yeah, we have the ability to think things through. We have the ability to understand what a pandemic is. We have ability to understand as much as we can about this illness and the impact it's had on other human beings, as well as ourselves. But these little guys and, you know, adolescents, they've suffered a lot. And it's up to us to interact with them and to help them and to understand, and certainly not to pathologize it so that it sounds like, you know, oh, well, you know, you've got developmental delays, you've got all this. Well, there are some and there will be some, but they don't need to be pathology. It's like we just need to help them catch up with themselves, and their brains are learning and they're resilient and they can absolutely continue to get development, to get developed. I will tell you, there is I don't remember offhand who this man is. I've seen him, I've listened to him in the past, but he has a treatment facility in Texas where he has taken children who have been locked up in closets, who have no they're children that are in their early childhood, up to teens and some teens, who have been so abused that they haven't even been out of their cages. They've been starved, they've been beaten, they've been, and he has actually, understanding how children's brains develop, he's actually been able to take them into treatment and through a process I don't need to go through right now, but it's amazing that these kids are now starting to show up as being in college, young adults. They're doing well. They're thriving. They've caught up because their brains are so malleable and so resilient. So when we're interacting with these young people and these babies and children, it's important as adults that we recognize the trauma that they've been through, and to even smile at them and tell them hello and good job and, you know, how are you doing? When we're able to do that, will really help them to recover. Because we have to recover too, but we understand more. We get it more. And when we act our age, we can help them. So that's what I want to say about that. I might have gone on a little bit, but I know there will be thesis written about this. I know that there will be books written about this when we come out the other end and really start to see how it's impacted all of us. Because, you know, it has been my experience as a human being and as a professional. I say this, I have said this many times to some of my own patients, and that is that when you are going through hell, just keep going, don't stop. And if you're trying to figure out what it is that you are learning from this experience, just don't stop and think about it. Just keep going. Because when you get through to the other side, that's when you start to learn what you've learned from going through this. And so, you know, we can all think about it like I have in terms of how children are impacted and babies are impacted, because that's my specialization, is how trauma affects adults. But you only learn that by seeing what the trauma is as an adult and then going backwards. It's kind of like when you find a string or the end of a piece of yarn in a sweater. If you just pull that, the whole sweater comes undone and you can see where it started. And understanding how trauma affects adults, that's how you do it. You say, okay, what do we see now? And then we start to pull the string and we start to see how that trauma or how that behavior was created in childhood trauma. We'll all learn more about that as we come out of this, and I have faith that we will, and we are. But in the meantime, you know, I think it's important not to pathologize the impact on children, to just know that there will be some delays. It's like when, you know, it's like some people just decided, okay, I'm not putting my kid back in school this, you know, last year. They just said, we're just going to keep them out. And those parents, when they get their kids back in school, they'll see there's some delays. Okay, that's all right. Those kids will catch up and they will do well with a lot of support from adults. We had better be supportive of them, because they're going to be the ones out in the world working and earning a living and having the next generation. And we want them to have caught up, be well, and feel safe in the world. You know, one of the things that you might have heard me talk about before, if you heard me before, is that a lot of trauma, if you can't even remember what it was, to know that you felt unsafe. And we have a whole generation of kids who have felt unsafe in this pandemic. Grown-ups have felt unsafe in this pandemic. And for those of you who are listening to this and are adults, you know the feeling that you have when you don't feel safe. Well, when you're a little kid, you really need to feel safe. And so I've seen parents and adults trying to help their children and their babies feel safe during this pandemic, but they're still going to get traumatized. So we'll see how that goes. I just want you to be aware of it so that you can start to have a positive impact on those children and on those babies, so that they can start to develop those aspects of themselves as they go along. You know, it just means that more time and attention and energy will be flowing into those babies and those children. More time, attention, and energy needs to be flowing into them. And, you know, I've certainly seen adults who have really been focused on that. I mean, I just love seeing those babies and small children, especially, and adolescents, when I run into them out on the trails. Because they're not out there by themselves. Well, some of the adolescents are, but, you know, little kids and babies aren't out on trails by themselves. I've seen so many adults with their little kids and babies in backpacks and talking to them. And, you know, because you can have your mask off outside. And so those little kids are like just thriving out there. And it's a wonderful thing to see. But we need to start paying attention to it even more and support the, I know that, you know, this isn't a place where you raise money or anything like that, and I'm not doing that. But to support the schools and the teachers who have to go back, who are going back, and being faced with these kids who have all been traumatized, and trying to help them catch up, giving them support is really important in this. And I certainly know that I will. So I just wanted to, before I move on to the next part of my, to the next, piece of my podcast, which is, why is all this important and how has it all impacted us, you know, our own childhood trauma, that I wanted to just say something about this obvious one that's happening right now. And so the next piece of this will be how all of that feeling energy is a really big piece of how family legacies are transferred from one generation to the next. So until then, take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Healing Your Family Legacy here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. Healing Your Family Legacy is copyright 2021, Dr. Donna Bevan Lee, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.